At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
As you can see, the gang's all here. We are breaking down some of our favorite political moments of 2017.
Oh, shoot. We were supposed to have favorite ones? and we're going to go over some interesante Supreme Court cases to keep your eye on. The tax bill. And what
some of the races across the country.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the Atlanta mayor race happening right now because it is Tuesday, December 5th. Welcome to Political Beat.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's The Political Beat, the millennial show and podcast breaking down the latest in Washington politics and things happening around the world and the country. I can't believe it's December. It's really crazy. I'm your host, Drexel Hurd. You can follow me on Twitter at Drexel Hurd. I am your moderate voice of the left.
And I am the lefter of the left. I'm Chelsea Galicia. You can follow me at Chelsea Galicia.
As you can see, we are joined here in the studio by our favorite people, the host of the Trump Report, Mr. Christian Blatt.
Well, I'm my favorite person, but I didn't know I was anyone else's favorite person. And you're absolutely right. It is December 5th. And as Scott on the other end of the table would tell you, there are 20 more shopping days for impeachment.
Yep.
So make sure that you get everything in a row. And you can find me at ChristianDMZ and also the Trump Report Tuesday nights at 7 right after the show. Like tonight, right after the show.
After the show.
It'll look an awful lot like this. It'll be the same four people.
But it might not be in this order.
As Christian said,
also on today's show, another one of our favorite people, Resident Information Bank, I like to call it. Also from the Trump Report, and I guess from here, too, because he's been on a few times. There's Scott Moore.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for having me back. It's going to be a fun night.
Hello, S-Man 80.
It's going to be good. Sorry we started so late tonight. If you're watching live, there is a big fire here in California. It has stopped traffic all over Southern California.
It was raining ash on me earlier today.
I was wearing light colors today, so I got in my car, and there was ash all in my car this morning because I left my windows cracked just a little bit, not realizing that there was a fire happening outside. I'm already like 200 days away from my wedding too, which is really crazy.
Wow.
Under 200 days.
Yeah, it's only been like 2,500 days.
Right. And so now we're in crunch time now. Okay. So that's really crazy going to the halls. You guys have holiday plans?
I might go out of town. I may not. I may go down to Mexico. I need to get out of LA.
You might not be able to come back.
And know what the
at this point, you might want to rethink your holiday plans going down to Mexico.
Just go down to the wall.
Don't cross the wall. Touch
the American side of the wall.
Get a great hotel view of the wall.
Right. Take some photos.
Wall side.
My holiday plans are going to be staying very close because, as we'll talk about in the Trump Report, I'm suddenly a family of four now and not a family of three. And since our last show a week ago, my wife gave birth to our little daughter Lucy. So we're not going anywhere. Like we're not even going to South Pasadena for grandma's Thanksgiving this year, I bet. That's all right. Well, I mean I could go, but the baby can't.
I texted Christian earlier, I said, well Lucy must be running the house already.
Right. Oh she is.
Definitely running things.
Yeah,
it's the year of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Running things.
Wasn't that last year the year of the woman, supposedly?
It was supposed to be.
Yeah. And then it got prolonged.
And it got pushed. Yeah, things happen.
Scott, plans?
Yeah, I'm going back east to Florida and North Carolina, so nice. It'll be crazy travel.
Hopefully, you'll be able to come back from those too.
Yes, I hope so.
It might be underwater, or you might be engulfed in Trumpism.
Yes.
Do you have your papers in order to come back from North Carolina?
I'm going to try.
Okay.
Got to make sure I have everything in order before I leave. Yeah, same thing.
Hello to everybody in the chat room. It's good to have you. A lot of our Trump Report fans as well. The Demonat, our star. And Storage Yard resident, I believe. Mm-hmm. I saw him in the chat room earlier today. He says, mazel, mazel, Christian. On Lucy as well.
He's probably disappointed that I didn't name her Trump.
Or Melania.
Well, that's true.
Or Melania.
Ivanka's a nice name. Anyway.
It is. First up on the show, we've got some news out of the Supreme Court, so we'll talk about that here in a bit. And, of course, as Pot Saves America calls it, the Donor Relief Act of 2017, as it passed the Senate last week. So we'll talk about what's up next for that bill, and we'll break down some of our favorite things from the year as it is almost over. We haven't talked a lot about Supreme Court on this show because there hasn't been a lot of stuff that's been happening.
Ever since Neil Gorsuch. We tried to pretend that the Supreme Court didn't really exist.
Yeah, typically they only release rulings or hear cases about four times a year, I believe. And so they're in that mode right now. Early this year, like Chelsea said, the president nominated and the Senate confirmed Neil Gorsuch. Since then, the court.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Court has heard almost about 50 cases this year. So, Chelsea, what are some of those cases that we that's happened so far this year?
So the big one that I am really... I don't know if I'm more nervous or excited about the gerrymandering case. This is Gill versus Whitford, about whether partisan gerrymandering is constitutional or not. Can we divide up districts basically based on race? I'm hoping that's a big no, but we shall see.
Well, wasn't it also based on partisanship as well? It was.
But partisanship is, I think they that doesn't really matter. But they this whole thing of, like, making really odd shaped in a purposely to try and drown out the voice of one and enhance the other, that is no.
And it shouldn't be allowed.
And so this is just a natural extension if race can be a factor in it. And the other one is class versus United States. So if you plead guilty, are you inherently saying that you are guilty and then you've waived some constitutional rights to appeal that, or not appeal it, but later challenge the constitutionality of it? And we're going to find out soon.
Yeah, they haven't made a decision on those cases yet.
I don't know. I guess in that case, you just like, I wonder if they will allow plea deals to be no contest rather than guilty pleas. Because that would get us around this issue. If you say, if you go in and you plead no contest, it's not pleading guilty, it's not saying you're not guilty, you're just not up for the fight. And then you can go to jail or to have whatever sentence that you agree to with the DA. But as of right now, plea deals are you have to plead guilty.
And those two cases were from the summertime, and then the Supreme Court had a couple of cases today and yesterday. Can you talk a little bit about those?
So the one... gosh, was it yesterday about the travel ban?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So the travel ban is a thing. Supreme Court said that they're going to allow it to go forward right now, not permanently, but just sort of in this period of the other cases making their way through the courts. And they didn't really give much of an explanation, so we don't really know the reasoning behind it. But they just are going to let it go forward.
I saw that Justice Kennedy had wrote... something like wrote the writ out
opinion
out, but it was like a just an order basically, and then that Justice Sotomayor and Justice Ginsburg would have denied it,
right?
And then Justice
Gorsuch
had also wrote something, I believe, and then Justice Ginsburg and Sotomayor had also would have denied that as well. No, it was the Chief Justice. It was John Roberts, and then it was. Justice Kennedy, which Kennedy surprised me. And he actually not only surprised me on that one, he also surprised me in some of the questions that I read today from the next case.
The cake case.
Yeah. The cake. So in 2012, gay couple went into a Colorado bakery to get a wedding cake, and the baker, what is this first guy's first name? His name is Phillips, but that's his last name, I think. Said no, and made it very clear that the reason he was saying no was because they were a gay couple. He is claiming that it is religious freedom for him to be able to deny making this cake, that the act of making this cake is supporting a marriage that he religiously doesn't agree with. And the gay couple is claiming that this is discrimination based on who they are. So this is a big sort of test mm-hmm. of what's more important, religious freedom or anti-discrimination.
So do you guys think, and I want to get everybody's thoughts on just how they're going to rule on this in a second, but if you look back at the votes that John Roberts had on healthcare, which was a surprise vote. Mm-hmm. If you look at the way that Justice Kennedy has voted when cases involving LGBTQ Americans has come up, he tends to be on the side of the actual person.
Yes, he wrote one. I think he may have been the author of the case.
Obergefell.
Yes. Yeah. So he is sort of known as a pro LGBT, you know, protection guy, but he's also a First Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Christian, did you by chance see any of Justice Kennedy's questions today, just about how, you know, he said that he felt that the state of Colorado was unfair to the cake shop, Masterpiece Cake Shop? Do you feel like the state of Colorado was unfair to that person? Do you agree with that?
Well, I did read an article about this. You know, it's a lot of seeing headlines the right. last week and not having time to actually click on them.
Yeah, got a baby.
It's a lot of too. Yeah, so it's a lot of. If it's not written on the inside of a diaper, I probably didn't see it. But I did see enough about this. And you know, look, just to play devil's advocate with this case, look at it this way: if a baker was asked to make a cake that has a Klan hood painted on it and it says "Congratulations on your first lynching," I'm using it as a very extreme example, but they're within their rights to say, "No, thank you. I would not like to make that." So,
but that's not discriminatory.
No, I know. But so then that sort of creates a where's the line, you know? And I think that that might actually be what Justice Kennedy, not my example, but Justice Kennedy, I think, is not. He wants to hear out why this really happened and like, well, what. Where can you, as someone who provides a business, draw the line? Mm-hmm. You know, is it going to – and, you know, look, it depends on where this is. Colorado, I don't think is the case, but we've heard some of these cases in southern states. Is it going to hurt your business if it's like, oh, you know, they're the bakery that made the gay cake, you know, and then to other people maybe, oh, we're not going to get our cake for our church picnic there. So I think it's not as cut and dried as people in, you know, maybe
I think this is a really – really fascinating case because mm-hmm. I mean, we don't really compel people to do things. You can't like force an artist to create a piece of art, and they're trying to claim that cake is a art. Anybody mm-hmm. buying that cake isn't piece of art.
No, actually,
I mean,
no,
I do
Gorsuch,
love cake,
actually,
and
no,
it is
Gorsuch,
kind of an art. It's an art form
yeah,
that I enjoy, but I don't think in the way they mean.
Is it a masterpiece? Maybe.
Neil Gorsuch said, "I don't know anybody that." Likes wedding cakes in general. Like he actually said that. So I thought that was very funny. Scott, do you think that a case like this will open up just the opportunity for other businesses, like will just pile on after this?
Oh, no, absolutely. And I think that's kind of going back to what Christian was saying. It's a very fine line, and where is that line? Because it is right in the middle of our culture wars here, and extremes on both sides. I've seen extremes and reading about on both sides if we allow this or we don't allow that. And that is the point is where can the justices find that line to say, okay, well, you have a right to do this, but you don't have a right to do that or say no to certain because of your religious beliefs. Then where is that line? Because then where does that go as far as a religious belief for any other things that happen?
I see an out for them. I see an out for them where they don't actually have to pick a winner here.
What do you think?
Now, how would they? Yes, how would?
So part of the religious freedom argument requires that you see marriage as inherently religious. That's what they argue. Mm-hmm. But are atheists allowed to get married?
But that's the thing, is that there's a government side of it and there's the religious side.
So what I'm saying is marriage is not inherently religious for everybody.
Right.
So
right, because you get married in a church, but you still have to go
file. You have
file,
to go through like, file paperwork with the government.
Yeah.
Some people, neither
is cake, according to your
Some people have no religious affiliation, and their wedding is just as valid as somebody who's, you know. So you can actually take out the fact that marriage is a religion, the religion thing. You can kind of extract the two. And here's the thing. If you show up to my business of, I don't, whatever it is, I can't even think because I'm not creative in anything. But if it's like, you know,
well, what if it's just
a
saying,
sign, there's
you
a
saying
sign.
Being a lawyer and saying, I came up and I wanted to do something with my husband, and you say no because of your religious beliefs, I won't do this, work with you guys to put your whatever your will together. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so,
where is that line?
So here's
of religious
what the,
stuff?
Here's what I think that they will say. You can't discriminate against people because they are gay, but you have the choice about who you do business with. So what it's going to be is like, you don't have to serve the gay couple, but you can't discriminate against them. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be one of those covert things. You're going to be like, oh, I see. You guys are a couple. You can't say, you got to get out of here because I don't do gay weddings. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be able to sit, you know, I've got my right to do business with who I want to do it with. And I, you know, I'm closing down my cake orders for the week. Sorry, guys.
So
we're going to have sort of this, it's a way we handle like age discrimination. Like, you're not supposed to do it legally, but does it happen? We all know that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And it does, but it's very difficult to show that somebody like didn't get hired because of their age. And it's going to be the same thing here. It's not going to be okay to discriminate based on somebody being a couple being gay, but businesses are allowed to do business with who they want to do business with. They're just not going to be able to say that they're discriminating. They're just going to say, I just don't feel like doing business with
but
you.
But on that point, Christian, earlier today, a reporter during the White House press conference today.
Which I did see because I was almost at the gym. I actually did see that.
Somebody asked her the question, at least in the arguments, I guess one of the justices brought up the fact about putting a sign in the window that said, we do not serve
we do
gay
hetero
people.
Cakes only.
Or what about the sign that a lot of businesses have up? We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders' response was, I believe that what the president believes encompasses that. Do you think that was a smart idea? I mean, this week during the campaign, we heard Donald Trump go around saying that. I mean, he waved the rainbow flag and he said that he was the champion for. Do you believe that Donald Trump believes that?
I actually think that businesses believe that. I think he believes that it's bad business to, you know, close off like, well, we're not going to serve gay customers. But he also thinks that it's good politics to say that it's up to the, you know, the actual business owner to decide who they want to serve. You know, I mean, I think it is less business related than politics because. You know, look, you know, are people going to line up in West Hollywood or on Christopher Street and vote for Donald Trump in 2020? No, because Scott Moore will tell you that he'll be impeached by then. But, you know, it's not really – that's certainly not his base.
Right.
You know, and it's not at the point where he really needs to bang the drum for this one, you know. And he's too busy – well, I don't know. He's too busy moving things around in Israel.
Yes, and I know we don't have a lot of time to talk about that.
We'll talk about that in the Trump report.
But real quick, predictions on the outcome of this in terms of vote count, Scott.
Vote count for
this vote. I mean
it's going to be five to four.
It's 5-4. Yeah.
The question is which way will Kennedy go?
Yes, exactly. It'll be 5-4. We'll have to see what he does.
What do you think? What do you think Kennedy's going to do? Do you think his questions were just kind of like, hey, I just want to put it out there to test the waters and see
I'm feeling really confident about my middle thing where no side gets to like
claim
victory.
So you think it could be like a 4-4 and an abstention?
No, it'll be,
you don't have to rule.
It'll be 5-4, but it'll be for some, I don't know, watery,
like, yeah, like
weak,
in the middle of like both sides.
You can't discriminate, but you can do business with who you want to. It's going to be something like
that's
that.
That's an interesting, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it's a tough one because you're right. I don't know if they're ready to make such a thing, even though they, you know, ruled on marriage equality in 2015. It's such a hard line to figure out where that is.
I agree. I think that they might not want to set the precedent in either way on this, you know, because then it's like, well, this is what you nine people said. Mm-hmm. So clearly that must be what it is going forward. But in answer to Drexel's question, I feel like it'll probably pass by one in the sense of that the bakery can do whatever they want.
Interesting.
Oh, a clear win for the
bakery. Yeah, win for the bakery.
Yeah, okay. I'm hedging my bets by sort of agreeing with Chelsea, but my like if we were at the sports book in Vegas and I was actually filling out the slip right now, and maybe I have bet on this. Who knows?
Speaking of sports books, the other case that's going on right now is whether any state can get in on this gambling business.
Nope, just Nevada.
Yeah,
don't share.
I do want to link two cases real quick. I don't want to talk about them, but I do want to point out that the Texas Supreme Court also ruled on an LGBT case out of Texas, and whether or not the mayor of Houston, I believe, or one of the more bluer cities,
yes, it was Houston,
had the right to issue marriage licenses in a state where it was illegal.
It was to extend spousal benefits
yes,
for their health insurance and everything, and if that was something that should be required if they're married.
So that is going to be something that I'm sure will make its way up to.
So wait, Supreme hold on. Court the question well. Is whether Texas will has to extend.
Right, correct. If they have to be able to extend spousal benefits to same-sex couples.
Right.
And
the Supreme Court, Texas Supreme Court said no. So I'm sure that this will make its way up to the Supreme Court.
I'm going to say, you do have to.
Right. Well, the Supreme Court decided not to hear it.
Yeah. Not on the same scale, though. Isn't it just like how states, it's legal to have recreational marijuana, but it's against federal law? So just because you're saying it's okay in your borders, whether it's a city or a state, doesn't mean it's actually binding if you leave the town or you leave the state.
But they actually said you couldn't do it at all. Like they're saying they can't do it in Houston. And
speaking of the marijuana thing, by the time we come back next year, it's going to be
recreationally. Well, it already is, but now you'll be able to actually walk into a shop out here in California. And
so Chelsea's going to have the munchies.
Speaking of,
it actually might help me gain weight. This might be a really great solution.
Speaking of businesses getting what they want, like this bakery. The Donor Relief Act, or the GOP tax scam bill, I mean the GOP tax bill, passed the Senate this week. Just real quick, because I don't want to spend too much time on it.
Because we hate it.
Do you guys think that this is, A, going to pass out of conference? Yes or no? And B, if this is going to be politically toxic for Republicans in 2018? Christian.
Well, I think that it's definitely politically toxic, and I think that this happening doesn't mean that, you know, obviously it has to reconcile with the House bill, and I think that means that there's way too much time for people to sort of get the nagging calls from, you know, I would like to believe constituents, but honestly from donors, who are going to tell them, it's like, no, this is actually how you're going to have to try and, you know, tailor make the compromise bill. So I think that the bill as passed, or as passed in the Senate, will not pass. But I do think that there will be a version of it that won't actually make anyone happy, but make everyone angry. You know, so there'll be something that, what's the point? But I feel like it's kind of all they have to point to right now as we look back on all of 2017. Right now, it's like, it's this and the little Budweiser party for healthcare. You know, this is really all that they have.
I feel like people have forgotten about this tax vote already. Chelsea, do you think that this the version that they're going to vote on and potentially pass, as Christian said, will be worse than the bill that just passed the Senate and passed the House?
Worse. Gosh, I don't know. I like to think like it can't get much worse, but just when you think it can't get worse, I don't know. I'm just there. I'm just, I don't know. Something in me is like, there's going to be a Hail Mary that we, a factor that we currently, from where we're sitting, can't see, that's going to, you know, blindside this effort and knock it down.
Scott, my
optimistic prediction.
I know. I certainly hope.
Thoughts on Jeff Flake not getting what he wanted out of DACA, Susan Collins realizing that she's not going to get what she wants out of health care, John McCain realizing that nothing was regular order as he wanted. Do you think those three votes are going to stop this in its tracks when it gets back to the Senate?
I'd like to hope so, but, you know, last week I thought they didn't quite have the votes, and it was the first. I wasn't as confident as I was for healthcare, because all year long I was like, there's no way healthcare is going to ever pass. This one I thought, there's a chance. And when everyone came to it, and they did in the Senate, I thought, okay, well, now there's a pretty good shot now that it'll reconcile and it'll be there by the end of the year, because they have nothing else for them. And if they can not get anything signed at the end of the year, they have nothing to stand for.
And they have nothing to run on.
They have nothing to run on, and then you're going to be distracted when Roy Moore wins next week. And then you have Trump with Russia, and they're going to have a really bad year for Republicans next year. So I'd like to think they won't pass it, but I am now leaning in the chance that they will reconcile to some degree. I think, if anything, it's going to hew closer to the Senate, Senate's final, because of the fact that they can't lose as many people in the Senate as they can in the House and still pass. They can lose like 20-something members in the House, where they can only lose like two in the Senate. So I think, if anything, it's going to go more towards what the Senate had gone for when they try to reconcile the House bill. But we'll see. I mean, like Chelsea said, there's always that chance of that Hail Mary. There's always something else that'll come through. The constituents come through enough to just help to kill it. But we'll see what happens in the next week or so.
If you've been watching on here, we threw up I believe the New York Times or somebody created this chart of how much each family or taxpayer gains or loses with this tax bill between 2019 and 2027 if you are making less than $50,000, it looks like you're screwed. Although Paul Ryan liked to tout that families would be able to save $1,000 a year, to which I remind him that $1,000 can't pay for
the new car.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
That was really funny.
or the women and the booze, as Chuck Grassley.
Women and booze have gone up a lot since Obama left.
I every once in a while will find myself over on Fox News .com because I want to see.
I'm curious too.
How are they?
No, I have to try to do it just to see what how
they're selling it. Yeah. And so the article I read was like five myths that the Democrats are using, and it's all the the standard points that we're making about this. And he says, yeah, it's going to give people, big tax breaks. And I'm like, dude, Paul Ryan did you in, because he already said that families are, going to get around $1,000.
Right.
So.
But I was making this point. I was making this point yesterday to somebody, and I want to move on. But I was making this point yesterday that when people who are in, I won't say just middle America, but like in cities where the poverty rate is pretty high, in their head, at least in my opinion, $1,000 sounds like a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's how Republicans can sell this piece of trash, because it looks to them, they're like, well, it's $1,000 that you can use somewhere else.
Except that generally a family of four making under $40,000 a year doesn't pay federal income taxes. So it's not going to make a difference for them.
Right. And but as we've seen, if you live in California or New Jersey or New York, which there are a lot of poor people, and the cost of living
is higher. Well, and we're going to get a lot poorer because we have major state taxes, and we can't write those off.
They have now.
Wait, Scott, this is a Scott question here. Does California have enough Republican reps? Same with New Jersey and New York, to, if they vote no, it wouldn't get out of the House because these three states.
Yes, but they would all have to vote no. And I think what they're trying to do is sweeten the pot for some states and others. They're working. That's what happened last time. They did a lot with New York and New Jersey reps to be able to help them push it through. And then, of course, most of the California people signed on it because they claimed, oh, it'll be fixed, you know, in the Senate before it comes back to us. So pretty much every Republican did except Daryl Issa. I think there were, what, three people? Three Republicans that didn't sign it, that said no the first time around. But yes, technically, yes, if all every single Republican on all three states in the House said no, then that would be just enough, but barely.
Okay, I'm hanging my metaphor.
Here's what I'm banking on as we go into 2018. I am banking on a West Wing-style shutdown of the government pretty soon because I'm really hoping that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer stick it to the Republicans. Mm-hmm. 2017 was a whirlwind for us, and I know for America. So last time we were all together in this studio, we were doing election results. So we thought it would be a good idea to talk about some of the highlights of 2017 in politics. We're going to start with our favorite top stories of 2017. Christian, what is your favorite? What was your top story of 2017?
What did I put on the document? Because I'm trying to think now. It was really clear in my mind last week. But, I mean, look.
Here's a refresher.
It's right here. What did I think? What, my top story. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this ties
I need
in
that
everything.
Back.
Then I'll need
You're
it
gonna
back.
You're going to need it back.
I think that I actually figured it had something to do with Trump. And, look, the top story is just sort of he's doing it right now, today. Mm-hmm. He's still doing it every day, even before he was sworn in, even before he was elected. Just the manipulation of the media.
Right.
And it's obviously, if you don't like what he has to say, you can find it abhorrent. But on just a fundamental level, it's brilliant the way he's able to do it and consistently do it. Mm-hmm. And just like, oh, you know, people, the heat's a little too hot on this. You know, we have a real problem. It's the NFL. You know, and then it's anytime there's anything going on, you know, like we referenced briefly the fact that, you know, let's switch the capital of Israel. You know, let's do that.
Right.
You know, it's like, what else is going on this week? Don't worry about it. You should be angry about that right now.
Is that a real thing that's going to happen tomorrow?
It is going to happen tomorrow. And I know we'll
talk about it on the
next hour. Scott, your top story of 2017?
Well, kind of on what Christian was saying, it's sort of that alternative facts. It's sort of that loss of truth and taking, you know, actual factual evidence. And now it's people can be in their own corner and you can just shout out fake news and not true. And that started basically with Trump, but now it's accelerated in all other aspects now of politics. And it's really actually kind of scary to see where we're getting to. Because when you think about it, when you kind of lose the actual fact based evidence on things, where does that lead? Because then, like we said, we see Roy Moore now in the polls, and there's a good chance he's going to win next week in Alabama because people are like, oh, well, this is a whole liberal thing to, you know, discredit him and, you know,
and
all these other things now to where people, you have a hard time knowing what is really true anymore because it's so fogged up now and clouded up by everyone's allegiance to certain things, and it's really a very scary place to be because even if you get rid of Trump in the next year or so, you're still left with people that are going to continue to believe these conspiracy theories and other things that he's been on the forefront of doing. And just it does frighten me of the future of our country to kind of get back to, yes, we can all agree on certain things that are all fact-based, and now we don't really have that anymore. Because if Trump says the sky is red and everyone says no, it, you know, liberals say, oh, no, it's blue. But then you're going to have 25% of the country is going to say, well, no, it's red because that's what he says. And it's red. And you guys have been lying this whole time. And that's what gets kind of scary if we lose that. And we're kind of heading in that direction. And that's what we've seen this year.
Chelsea, your top story?
It's not a single story, but it is when Trump announced his nominees for cabinet positions. Mm-hmm. It was like if anybody had any hopes of draining the swamp, he has introduced the king and queen of alligators. I guess the only queen would have been like Betsy DeVos and Elaine Chao. And so I hate to do it, but it was like a told you so moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody that was nominated was somebody who like hated the agency that they were about to run. So I kind of liked my little moment of being like, see, guys. And I've seen, like, on social media, even some people who were like, I'm going to give Trump a chance. I'm going to give him a chance. We should all give him a chance. The moment that those nominations came out, chance is over. Mm-hmm. And I think people, there was, you know, that middle ground of people who were like, I just want something different. Maybe he's going to do something different. Maybe he will be. They just had this little hope that somehow he was going to be something different from what mm-hmm. he appeared on the campaign, but he wasn't Hillary Clinton. I think there are people who are regretful of their votes, seeing these appointments and what these people are doing to the departments. I mean, if people know about it, because you kind of have to really know. Like, I didn't know about what was going on in the USDA or the EPA mm-hmm. until I read those Michael Lewis articles about how there's basically nobody there.
Mm-hmm. And you can learn all about that by watching old episodes of this show.
That'll keep you warm over the holiday season.
Go back and watch or go back and listen to a lot of these shows. My top story is actually across the world, which is in Libya. The Libyan mm-hmm. slave trade, which is happening right now. A lot of migrants going into Libya being traded as slaves. We saw photos of it. If you haven't, mm-hmm. look it up because it's a little crazy.
Wait, this is highlights of 2017 for you.
This is like top stories.
Top stories. Not your favorite.
Sorry, top story. We even put up a graphic that said top stories of 2017.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Oh my goodness. I was top stories. Yeah, not my favorite story, but definitely a story that I think that
something that needs attention.
Definitely needs attention. Charlie Puth way.
Very important. Like you said, people are passing through, like migrants are passing through Libya.
And they're being used as slaves. Yes, and it's a little crazy. I mean, it's
there's
like watching
a video of it. Yeah. Somebody, mm-hmm. a reporter went in and saw it with her own eyes.
Yeah. It's watching like when America had slaves in like real time.
Yes,
and like
they auction them off in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And they generally go for about $400 or the equivalent of about $400.
And this is not, like, we're not talking about, like, watching Get Out. Like, we're not talking about that. We're like, this is real life. So if you don't know any about that, definitely check it out because it is definitely one of the stories that probably will go into 2018 and be a huge humanitarian crisis. But you would never know because Trump doesn't care about black people.
And it's something very important to keep in mind.
Is Drexel becoming Kanye 2.0?
Let's go. Top social media moment. Social media obviously played a huge role in electing Donald Trump, in taking down Hillary Clinton through WikiLeaks and John Podesta. Scott, did you have a top, one of your favorite moments in social media this year?
Well, favorite would be hard because I think everything that Trump tweets just annoys and angers me. But, you know, it goes back to almost the beginning of the year when he talked about Obama wiretapping him. Just a complete blatant lie. And then the Covfefe tweet, I think, is definitely up there.
Covfefe will
always be the biggest one of the year. Because
is there such a thing as butt tweeting?
I know,
like, instead of butt dialing?
No, butt tweeting.
I think that was a butt tweet.
And the fact they left it up there for like an hour before any kind of thing happened, or the whole night, or whatever it was, because I remember it was like in the middle of the summer. I still remember
Drexel's comment. Yeah. It was like, on Facebook or what, it was like, somebody please help him.
Yeah. Well, without maybe stroke down.
Wasn't that yet another instance where there was a big story going on at the moment and then all of a sudden everybody talked about Covfefe?
Yeah.
So it's almost like, oh, is it accidental? Is it funny?
Right, and that's what we talked about on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Christian, those are definitely my biggest.
I actually thought about this and I tried to isolate one and I just don't know how. I think Trump tweet that has sad exclamation point in it.
Yeah.
It's always like, it's not actually sad. Why are you saying that? But
he doesn't know emotions.
Well, that's true. He's not programmed that way. But I think that there's just
he's programmed in the Russian way. The Manchurian candidate way, just not in the way that we think.
So I think that really what it comes down to is just it does go back to my earlier answer, just the sheer reach that he has. You know, and it's like for all the Covfefes that are funny, there's, you know, what, 100 or 1,000 more where you're just like, oh, no. And I think, by the way, that Trump single-handedly was responsible for Twitter expanding the character count because nobody utilizes it more than he does now. You know,
I do.
Well, I
to tweet out things from this account. Chelsea, your favorite moments?
I don't. Okay. The ones that stick out in my mind, I don't know if they're favorite, but maybe most memorable, are the Rocket Man tweets and the I tried to be nice to him, but he doesn't like me tweet. And that one gave rise to so many funny
memes. It's not like I said that he was short and fat.
Yes, that was a great one, too.
Yeah, so really, just isolating all of the Kim Jong-un. Yeah, that would be like a whole greatest hits collection.
Because they had the ones where it was like the teenage girl and like basically putting it in the meme with his tweets and everything and what he said. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And then my most recent, I guess, probably pretty soon my favorite one will be the one he sent out this weekend that said, I fired Flynn because he lied to the vice president the FBI. And by saying he lied to the FBI, he's acknowledging that he knew.
Exactly. Obstruction of justice.
But he didn't write the tweet.
Now that was allegedly, his lawyer.
Allegedly.
I don't know, but putting the dots together, months ago, people asked, I think it was Sarah Huckabee Sanders, it was after Sean Spicer, is a tweet an official statement?
And she answered it again today. That it was yes, that they acknowledged that their official statements from the White House.
So that tweet was an official statement from the White House.
I think any judge would
is that retroactive, so the White House officially thinks Rosie O'Donnell's a fat pig? Or is it only since he's been president?
Oh, that's funny. My favorite social media moment was not from a politician, definitely not from Donald Trump. We obviously went through this whole year. We just talked about Living Streets, so I'm clearly on a black people roll right now. Obviously, we were going through Charlottesville. We were going through different types of things earlier this year. And Kendall Jenner and Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to create a commercial with Kendall Jenner extending the Pepsi across the way to the cops, I guess. I don't know what it was. But that obviously had a big effect on social media, and people got a little crazy. I thought it was a little crazy. I think, of course, across America, the Barack Obama was the most had the most retweets this year in his Nelson Mandela quote. He had the actually top three retweets of the year. The Nelson Mandela quote, the one about John McCain. And then there was one other one, but I don't feel like looking
it up. And the resist hashtag was the most used hashtag this year, too, which is pretty cool. Higher than any of the other, higher than MAGA, which you thought, okay, that was probably in everything, because then people that were making fun of it, too. But resist was number one hashtag. Mm.
I feel like resist will continue to be the hashtag of 2018. If you're watching on Twitter, I'm trying to pull up the results. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm trying to pull up the results of things that are happening in Atlanta right now. It looks like right now it's still like super early in Atlanta. I mean, not super early. It's 9 o'clock in Atlanta, and only 1% of the city is reporting. For those who are not following or who have not been following this race, this is another kind of, I feel like, Trump referendum, like a referendum on the Republican Party, because Mary Norwood, who's running for Atlanta mayor, she's the Republican candidate or the Republican candidate. She's not from Atlanta. She is she kind of tried to run as like as a I don't know what she tried to run as, but not like as a Republican, but she's like a Republican in sheep's clothing. And you've got Keisha Lance Bottoms, who's the Democrat there, who's from Atlanta. And so best of luck to Keisha out of Atlanta right now.
Yeah, well, I loved her on the Cosby Show.
Why did they think, though, that Norwood could actually pull out the win? Because too many people were split on who was more progressive there. Because, you know, Atlanta itself is a very liberal city.
I think it's going to come out too. I think, and this is between this week and next week. This race in Atlanta and next week's race in Alabama will all come down, just like the 2016 election, to African Americans. I mean, literally, if African Americans do not vote in Atlanta tonight, Keisha Lance Bottoms will lose a race that Republicans have never won in a long time in the state of Atlanta. I mean, the city of Atlanta. Yeah, and on the other side, if black folks don't get out and vote for Doug Jones, if you have not donated to Doug Jones, do so in the next week. And if you're in Alabama and you're watching this or listening to this, make sure you get out and vote for Doug Jones as well, because he actually cares about black people, having prosecuted people who blew up a church killing four black girls back in, you know, civil rights time. Next up, favorite politician of the year. Close the show out with politician of the year.
I take that word favorite out of there.
I know.
Politician of the year, Chelsea. Who was your politician of the year.
Did I write something?
Do I need to? Yeah.
I need a reminder. Oh, yeah. And now I still can't even remember
What's
his name.
Oh, my goodness.
The guy who was like the activist protester. There's like pictures of him, and he looks every bit the, frankly, the stereotype of what we think of as an activist.
His name is Braxton Winston.
Yeah.
He is the city councilman, now city councilman, out of Charlotte.
Yes. And he took that activism right to the city council.
Yeah.
And became city council member. I like that story.
Christian, your
I don't like that he has two names and they're both last names, Braxton Winston. Again, this is why I had to clarify not favorite. Look, there's a theme for everything that I picked once I was reminded of what I picked. It has to be President Trump, just because nobody has figured out how to politic as well as he has in such a short amount of time. I mean, he's really only been a politician for a couple years now. And when we go back to the media manipulation and the incessant tweets, I can't think of a politician that shapes the dialogue the way that President Trump does. President Obama didn't to this extent. I mean, I think that, sure, you know, when he was elected, but on a day-to-day basis, people are talking about what Trump wants us to talk about. Right. And, you know, for worse or for worst, that's what's happening.
Scott, you're not your favorite, but your politician of the year.
I mean, definitely you have to go with Donald Trump on that aspect alone. But I'm actually going to say, because I know you had somebody down that I also was a very big supporter of, but I have to say Susan Collins, in the sense that out of all the Republicans, even more than John McCain and Lisa Murkowski, has been the one that, to me, has felt the most principled, that we just don't have anymore when it comes to certain things where it's like we're just down the party line. Like, I feel like she's the only Republican out there in Congress or anything that actually really does seem to value what her constituents need rather than the bottom line of, like, okay, what are my, you know, donors want or this or that. And yes, she's a little bit fortunate because of those other two, she's in a very blue state, and so she has a luxury being a little bit more liberal than her other senators and independent. But it is very refreshing to see, and like her former counterpart, Olympia Snowe, they used to be those two kind of moderate voices in the Republicans that you just don't see anymore. And so I've appreciated watching her be very thoughtful and candid and why she's doing what she's doing and voting the way she did against the health care repeal and being thoughtful even on the tax thing, even though I was disappointed that she ended up voting yes on it. I find it refreshing to see that, and I wish there were more Republicans who were still in office who had decided not to run again, that would be like the Jeff Flakes of the world and everything, and the Bob Corkers, that still could stand up to their principles. And I thought that was very refreshing this year from her.
Well, we might get a Senator Romney he's really popular in Utah. Like, still at this point, like, he could beat Orrin Hatch if he
but
ran.
I think Orrin Hatch would step aside and then support Romney the other way around. I don't know if he would actually go and run against him.
Well, if Donald Trump has anything to say, Mitt Romney will not be the next senator.
Because he's a loser.
My politician of the year, Danica Rome, the assembly woman from, or the delegate. Sorry, not assembly woman. The delegate from Virginia, who just won her delegate race last month. She's the first transgender delegate out of the House of Delegates in Virginia, but not the first transgender elected official across the country. So definitely want to make that distinction. But she's doing big things. Things that she said right out the gate, like the night of her election, that I thought were really impressive and really embodied what, at least to me, what politicians should be like. Mm-hmm. Should say, listen, I beat this person. This person is now my constituent, mm-hmm. and I will not be speaking ill of them because they now are somebody that I am representing. And mm-hmm. if all of our politicians could be like that, then we probably would be in a better place.
We would be, and she's very thoughtful in what she says, and she sticks to the wonky things that she said the voters put her in for, which was, you know, infrastructure and things like that that affect day-to-day people. And I just love the fact that she beat the guy who was the biggest homophobe, who actually called himself that. I think that's great karma, and I wish her well and very excited to see what she does next next year.
I also believe she was a run for something candidate. Our partner on this show, Run for Something, they got a lot of candidates coming out. Mm-hmm. Also go to runforsomething.com. Or if you are interested in running for office, definitely go to runforsomething.com. Mm-hmm. If you have your favorite, if you have your politician of the year, leave it in the comments below, because we definitely always love your viewer and listener feedback. So continue to leave your comments and thoughts on the show or anything you heard today, either via Twitter at PoliticalBeatTV or email us at PoliticalBeatTV@gmail.com. We'll be back in January with all new things to talk about. Maybe the government will be shut down, so maybe we won't have a lot of stuff to talk about. excuse me, and all new guests. If you're watching live or on YouTube, stick around because part two of our year in review continues with the Trump Report. If you're listening, head over to the Trump Report podcast for more of our thoughts. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Holidays, and Happy New Year from all of us here at AfterBuzz TV. Subscribe to Political Beat on iTunes, and we'll see you all next year right here on the Political Beat. Stick around. We'll be right back.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.